It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, Scotty Johnny himself. And with me, as per usual, is Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam. How are you, Aaron?
Hey, John. Hey, John. What's going on, man? Hey, what's with the third window we got going on the Google Meets tonight?
It's fantastic. We're actually in very high spirits right now. And also, we needed Wendy to keep me calm and level heading into an NFC championship game this week. So we have friend of the podcast, Wendy Hansen, joining us once again. How are you today, Wendy?
Good, guys. Glad to be here.
Oh, we're always happy to have you. We're actually bouncing things back and forth in Twitter. Anyone who's following that along. I guess we'll start off with yours, Wendy. What is your Twitter handle? If people want to follow you and get some of the most upbeat sorts of sounds they can get in sports talk.
Yeah, you guys can follow me at WendyLuhu3.
Perfect. And you can follow this show itself on Twitter. It's at ScottyJohnnyPod. You can follow me at the most obvious here. I'm Not So Humble Host on Twitter. And Aaron, how do people follow you on Twitter if they were so inclined?
They can find me at the Cheddar Talk, at Cheddar Talk, John, at Cheddar Talk.
Be careful.
And actually, that's the reason why we have Wendy here tonight. She responded to the bat signal. I hadn't seen her for a little bit on Twitter, and I was like, you know what? We should have someone else from the middle part of the state to talk about the Packers this last weekend. So thank you, Wendy, for responding almost right away, too. That was great. And I also set her up with a sweet documentary about her hometown of Wausau, Wisconsin. You can find it, too, through whatever Wisconsin Public Television had a great bit about that. Didn't know that it was the Fox capital of the world for a while. So
for the time.
Absolutely. All right. We'll also remind everybody you can follow the show iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, any place, in fact, that you find podcasts. And wherever it is you get us, please remember to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. We're going to have plenty to talk about in terms of Packers to get started off here, and we'll probably round off a couple other things at the end of the show here. But let's get right into it right away here and start off with our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, so Packer victory time. This is the good part here to start off with. I didn't go back to review what Aaron and I said last week. I normally write it down in front of me here, but I didn't do that last time. I think this is right in line with what we were talking about too, though, Aaron. Like we were like, I think you saw it a little closer, and I was like, it's going to be like a 10-point game.
I want to say I said 28-19 or something like that. I thought it was real close to that.
I don't have it. Either way, I don't think either of us were terribly far off on the idea of this game because the offense was going to roll, right? I mean, Wendy, how did you – I mean, did this meet your expectations, Wendy? We didn't get to ask you, obviously, last week.
Yeah, no, it absolutely did. I think the one thing that I noticed – right off the bat was the intensity that everybody had. You could just tell that they wanted it so bad. And I think it was a play, one of Tonyan's first plays, or first drives, huge. Like he just plowed through, I think it was like maybe three or four defenders. And like, you could just tell that the entire team just was on board. They were going to win this game no matter what. And it was awesome. Like it was just, there was maybe one moment that I was nervous. but for the most part, I was very confident that we were going to walk away with the W.
I had that feeling too with Tonyan, because I've really enjoyed, he brings a lot of energy to this team, and his article that he wrote last week was fantastic to read and a lot of fun. the big thing is just, yeah, the energy that he brings, because he looked so excited. There's this one tweet going around right now of some, he looks like he's 16. I don't know. Is some kid like shirtless in a mirror trying to like show how like excited he is? He's doing his Tunyon impression thing. Basically, it's like, yeah, he's very excited out there. And the big thing is that I think exactly that moment is when I'm like, this is over. This game's over. Because the two of the three losses the Packers had this year, the one big thing they said was we didn't have any energy. We just didn't feel it. You know, without fans in the stands, you know, even fans booing you in Tampa or something, it's very different. And sometimes they didn't come out with that right energy, but Tunyon brings it.
That players play. What is it, the Players Journal? Is that that
Players is, Tribune? Right?
Yeah, Players Tribune. Right up there with the Case Keenum one that he wrote just before the NFC Championship game a couple years ago. If you ever get a chance to read that one, no, it's really good. Case Keenum's was really good. And
is that the one right before they, of course, then let him go, saying like, "Thanks for the NFC Championship game appearance."
That's what might make it better is the irony behind it. But yes. Tunyon, who congratulations because you wrote it. Now you're going to be Bobby Tunyon for the rest of your time in the NFL. It's not Bob Tunyon. It's not Bob Tunyon. It's Bobby Tunyon from here on out. Actually, someone brought it up today on Heller. I can't remember who it was, but Tunyon, four catches on the game, but he was only targeted four times, and they were all in very clutch positions. Every single time he caught the ball, it seemed like it was a moment in the game that it needed to be done. Like Aaron Rodgers, for the first time since – boy, who's the last Finley. Super good tight end we had? Finley?
Healthy and Finley.
Healthy Finley, who was a flash in the pan 1 year. It was barely a year that he had him, and then he got super injured. He didn't even make it to the Super Bowl in 2010.
Nope.
And then he's looking for – he's got a safety blanket in Tunyon. And that allowed other things to open up too. Lazard looked good, and so did – I mean, everything looked good. The running backs looked good. And I know what you guys are talking about. The point in time in which we all got a little scared is when they got within seven and the Packers actually had to punt back-to-back times.
Yeah.
And that was the only two punts in the game. And then after that, it was, what, field goal, touchdown, victory formation. So out of all the games that were played this weekend, the Packers definitely won most comfortably. I don't think there was a doubt. Like you guys said, there was that one fleeting moment where it's like, just because we're McCarthy era Packers fans, and it's like, this is going to go south now.
Yeah.
And this team's got a whole different attitude than that. And it even made, I think everybody at the end of this week, I was listening to the KFan morning show out of the Twin Cities today, Cowherd, some others. It was just kind of like, well, it's the Packers to lose at this point. So that's a good position to be in. So there's
yeah, that makes me nervous as all get go.
You guys can talk now. I'll shut up for a little bit.
What I loved here is every facet of this game went just, I mean, it wasn't as perfect as it could have been. Like Aaron missed some guys. We had a touchdown dropped again because Lazard missed one. I mean, he caught the next one, but I mean, Aaron was not at his sharpest. He had 108 rating. I mean, it's fantastic, but this was not his sharpest game that he's had. Just a couple little things here and there, but I mean, like, yeah, the team ran for 5.2 a carry, and that's, you know, A.J. Dillon had 4.5 a carry, Jamal Williams, 5.4 a carry, and if you needed 2 yards, he got you 4 every time in that game. He came up huge in 3rd-and-2s several times. Jones.
Swag Daddy was at his best this weekend. I mean, it wasn't a 100-yard game or anything like that, but at this point, they're also complementary to each other. What, Jones had 99 total? I mean,
99 rushing.
So, yeah, 99 yards rushing total.
Yeah.
So, and I think it was almost a 200-yard game between all of them. But I mean,
them, Aaron. We don't
Jamal in this setup is not going to have Jamal in this setup is not going to have a 100-yard game, you know, unless something happens to the other two. But man, when there was a couple times when he got that ball that I felt bad for the people trying to tackle him. I really did. And he's not that big. He might be the smallest of the three.
Mm-hmm. Him and Aaron Jones are roughly the same size. Like they realize, but he runs so much bigger than he is. He's got a just a, such an attitude with him. Here's some other like little things, like you said, Bobby Tonyan, big plays and big moments. I loved the way he went out of bounds on that one right around the 20 that set the field goal before the end of the half. Because he was so amped up knowing that he had just saved them the timeout and he was getting out of bounds. And I was like, look at him go. But EQ he had one catch on two. The one, though, I think was actually kind of a fun one in here is MVS actually had a pretty good game. He didn't have anything flashy. He didn't have the big, I burned a guy down the field and that's 60 yards in my game. No, he had four catches for 33 yards, but, I mean, he played very tough. He had that little receiver screen for the first down that was a very key moment in that game. He also had a couple plays where he caught the ball over the middle and clearly a route was designed for him to go across. He stopped because of where Aaron was moving, came back away from the defender back to the middle of the field and sat down in it. He had a couple of those plays. He had eight targets, so four of the throws towards him he didn't catch, but those weren't drops. He didn't have a play where you're like, there it is again.
Yeah.
He played very well. Devontae caught 9 of 10 for 66 yards and a touchdown. The receiving, the running backs, they all look good in this game. They said Pro Football says Rashawn Gary, highest rated player on the defense in that game for the Packers. He had a sack and a half. He had a good game in terms of getting after a quarterback. Chris Barnes broke his thumb.
Oh, I know.
Taped it back up and came back in.
And lost an interception because of it, too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He would have had that pick if he'd had both hands. But he was still trying to catch it with a club and a hand. So
for my childhood, I like to call that the Tim Harris club.
Oh, Timmy.
Tim Harris played with a club for the longest time.
Two guns. The six shooters where he had gloves and he always had a green pointer finger because that was his shooting finger.
Nice.
Probably shouldn't do that today, but man, Timmy Harris. The defense wasn't incredible. It was almost infuriating. Andy Herman had a great way of putting it. It is infuriating how kind of good they almost are that this defense only gave up 18 points, which is kind of about where the Rams normally score. They haven't gotten over 24 in several weeks. They got 18. I mean, they went for two at one point. So they only had three real scoring drives in this game. But there were just so many times it looks like somebody's open. Somebody's got a 5-yard pass or they want it. I still don't understand why Pettin plays as much zone as he does. The number of three-man rushes against a quarterback you can attack and scare blows my mind. If they do that next week, they won't win. They won't. Yeah. So,
well, I will stand up for the defense in this fact, and I said this is because we're, kind of the children of the Mike Sherman era, the Mike McCarthy era, the, whoever defensive coordinator we had at the time. And that is that usually the defense would start off strong. I think back to the worst game in Packer history, which was in Seattle in the 2014 NFC Championship game. And that defense held forever, and then it just broke at the end, and it broke bad. This team tends to do well early. It kind of balloons a little bit in the middle, especially. But at that point, the other team's putting the pressure on to score those points, and so they're giving them all they have. I mean, the Rams pulled out a hook and ladder on a 2-point conversion. I mean, they were digging deep, Goff's thumb is obviously better shape than it. Everyone thought it was. It's definitely in better shape than last week. He was throwing the ball well. So Goff was playing about as well as he can. And they're down a couple players between Donald on the defense and Kupp on the offense, which everybody's hurting at this point, except for the Packers. They're doing pretty good on where's some wood here we can do. All right, except for Bakhtiari. And Billy Turner played very well in this game, by the way. Doesn't hurt having Elton Jenkins the other side of you. But anyhow, so that defense, though, we're so used to and we're so as Packer fans, we're just waiting for that ball to drop, for them to give up that fourth quarter. They didn't give up any points in the fourth quarter. They stiffened up, and they stiffened up hard. And that's what this team, like, it's like they do. They give a little in the middle of the game because that's when the other team still has, you know, like, oh, we can still get into this. And then the Packers punted twice. You know, it's like, oh, Aaron Rodgers is scoring on us. You know, like, let's gather up the forces and let's get some points here. And the defense did give up a couple points, but then they just stiffened up like a board. They did in the Tennessee game too. It was the same way. It was just like, just when you thought they were going to break, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, they just shut it completely down. And I mean, how good is Jair Alexander, by the way?
Oh, geez.
So good.
All week long. Nothing about him at all. Just Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey got burned.
Yeah. And then tried to pretend it was somebody else's fault the entire time.
Yeah. And Jair Alexander, I mean, because that's what came out after the game. Everyone was like, well, I guess everyone knows how good Jair Alexander is. Now, what, he gave up one catch for -3 yards, right?
Yep.
I think so, yeah.
On three targets.
That's actually better than 0 for 0, if you do your math.
Yeah.
Because 0 for 0 is 0 repeating. 1 for -3 is a much larger number.
I was told there would be no math.
Yes. Sorry. That's why I didn't answer my own question. I can't answer that math question.
I think
maybe Wendy can. She's smart.
See, I thought like Aaron Donald didn't look like he was out of it or incapable of playing at top end. I just thought Elgton Jenkins was a destroyer.
Jenkins had a phenomenal game. Like he kind of snuck in there and just, I mean, completely blew my expectations out of the water. And he's had, I mean, the last couple of games, he's, you know, played well. But yeah, yesterday or the last week was incredible.
When Aaron Donald felt the need to grab his face mask and attempt to rip his face off, I was like, this is over. It's the first quarter and he's in Aaron Donald's head. I was like, that's the end of this game.
Yeah.
Right. And Aaron Donald, obviously, you know, having torn cartilage in your chest, being an interior lineman, that's not going to work out well for you. I mean, Bakhtiari missed a couple of games earlier this month or earlier this season because of rib issues too. That's hard to pull off when you're on the inside. If you're a receiver, maybe you can get away with it. If you're a quarterback, maybe you can get away with it. If you're one of the outside players, maybe you can get away with it. But I mean, we learned how good Elgton Jenkins actually is when he's made phenomenal. The guy who everyone argues could receive votes as an interior defensive lineman, could receive MVP votes as an interior defensive lineman. He made him so mad. He lost. Aaron Donald doesn't lose his cool. Aaron Donald,
no.
All Aaron Donald does is destroy the other team's offenses.
Just eats
and you
your
could
soul.
Tell at the end of the game when he was on the sidelines crying, like he had been defeated.
I want to ask this just quickly as a quick aside, because this is what we do on the show is random quick asides to nowhere. I saw this on Twitter. Would you rather have peak Aaron Donald or peak J.J. Watt?
Ooh.
Peak. And I'm not saying injured or whatever or long term. If you've got one game, you got one of those two guys. Which Aaron one would Donald. You go with? See, I would go J.J. Watt because he's more versatile in the type of things he can do because – I mean, that guy, I mean, they can both play inside, outside. JJ's got the height, and he's got those giant hands. His interception ability is through the roof. He has several pick sixes from the DN spot.
Donald doesn't quit.
Neither of them quits. That's ridiculous. HBO?
I'm not saying that JJ Watt quits either. I'm just saying that there's something about Aaron Donald, man. That dude's literally the Tasmanian devil from Warner Brothers cartoons when we were kids. Every time the ball is snapped, he's just spinning and everyone's just trying to get him down. You know, luckily we have Jenkins and Lindsley to take that on. So, but I don't know. What do you think, Wendy?
It's hard. I think I've got to go Watt, just again, to John's point, that versatility. But speaking of that, I did hear rumblings, and this is just complete rumors, but we might be in the market for him because King, I think his contract is up, and then there's somebody else. But I think we should bring him home, just like one year. Just bring him back home.
Wendy, I would trade certain left sides of body parts to make that happen. JJ Watt is my man crush.
You have to be on a hometown sweetheart deal, though. There's too many good young players to pay. Oh man,
that's true. But oh man, just because he's my man crush, I loved watching him at UW. I was at law school when he was playing there, and I would love to see him in green and gold just because of that. So let's just win a Super Bowl first, so that way we can do that, and I can just live with it happy after that and not worry about the rest of these things, like we're ruining anything forever and ever. But yeah, no, my quick digression there. Okay, so looking ahead, though, to this next game, I know Wendy had something she wanted to bring up about the idea of, you know, this team having to play Tom Brady, and how it's going to affect her personal life, I guess, and how it is involving her in this.
Yeah. And who's from Rhode Island? I've never met anybody from Rhode Island. I think that's a hoax.
It's a tiny, tiny state. There's like 30 people that live there.
My uncle used to live there.
Normally, we're a divided household, because he's very much East Coast sports, New England, a huge Patriots fan, Bruins.
Go Bees.
Red Sox. But he's also very scorned by the whole Brady leaving the Patriots ordeal, going to the Buccaneers. And we were talking about it today, and he's like, I cannot have Brady go to a Super Bowl because New England will implode on itself. Like, it will just, I will be constantly berated with super snarky interviews about how, you know, Brady was able to do it one more time with the Bucks. So we were in full agreement that the Packers can save America by going to a Super Bowl and Brady out.
Yeah. So tired of Tom Brady at this point. He's not and personally, that's not the thing that scares me. Here, by every metric, this is not as good a defense as the one we just played, right? I mean, so you're saying they don't give up as many. They give up more yards. They're worse through the air. They're worse on the ground. They give up more points. They also, DVOA, they're slightly worse. I think they're 5 instead of being 4. So, I mean, like, they're not as good as what we just played. The only thing that gets me, though, is the difference between the two defenses is primarily that Tampa Bay has phenomenal linebacker play. And just like the speed that White and Levante David bring to that team changes the way I feel about it, because it can cover up so many different things. Like, the Rams had guys up front and they could do some things there. And then you'd said that, they've got a couple stars on the back end that could kind of help you out there, including, Ramsey leading the way. But, man, they've got some good safety play in Tampa. They've got Antoine Winfield's son, who we don't need the Winfield family hurting us anymore. But
by the way, the Minnesota Golden Gophers might have had the most recruiting happen last night during that game between him and Antoine Winfield Jr. and the receiver made a big play too. I can't think of his name. Johnson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they both had like two Golden Gophers had a big game for them. Sorry, random side thought. Anyways, go ahead.
Ah, nobody's going there anymore. The gleam is off the gold there. It's all done. I don't know. Just because the Rams linebackers were never anything that scared me on this team, and I thought that our offensive line was going to hold up well enough. It's that linebacking group that I think changes a little bit of how this plays. I still think that there's a couple things that go the Packers' way here in terms of the intangibles. First off, Aaron's angry. He's going to be super angry because, first off, like, Tampa did the one thing he can't do. They gave bulletin board material after last game. Devin White comes out and says, "We knew they didn't belong on the field with us." You're like, what? Why would you ever say that to a team you're possibly going to play in the playoffs? And they're going to play them, secondly, they're going to play them at home, which is going to be a little different than playing, in Tampa in the humidity in a time when Wisconsin was getting colder and they are still humid and terrible. But I mean, like, and the other thing is we were coming off that bye week, which we've always been, always, I mean, in 2 years now, 2 years under LaFleur, we've been bad coming off the bye. been blown out both years off that bye. We have the continuity. We have the bulletin board material. And we're coming off of playing a better offense or better defense, and we're one step away from the Super Bowl in a home game. I don't know. I think there's an edge here for the Packers, but I think this is going to be like a three-point type win, and I think it's going to be mostly because, again, Brady doesn't scare me. Jones does. I'm more afraid of their running game because that's really what they lean on to set up, you know, shorter passing stuff. They'd love to throw deep. It didn't work last week against New Orleans. And I don't know that's going to be particularly great against us next week because a lot of our guys are playing way better now than they did then. Darnell Savage is playing way better than he did at that time. Just several other people are just across that defense have been playing way better. So I don't know. Yeah, even Preston Smith looking way better than he did at that period of time.
You know what I'm scared of? I'm scared of the narrative. I really am.
I'm already because tired of the narrative.
I could even hear it today on some of the national sports talkers, Colin Cowherd to be one that the main one that I heard saying yesterday was Tom Brady. Tom Brady won that game.
But it wasn't.
Not the system, not Belichick, nothing like that. That was Tom Brady winning. It's like, dear God, they picked off Breeze three times. He couldn't throw it any further than 20 yards down the field. They shut down the running game for the most part, and the only person who could throw the ball downfield was Jameis Winston out of a wide receiver set that Sean Payton had to sneak into the game. So, here's one deep pass that we're going to have. No, it was not Tom Brady. It was Tom Brady being carried by a team. Yeah, Tom Brady played well, considering.
Well, if they had Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill wasn't there either.
Laughing.
So that's already the narrative, and it's like, I don't know. You know how I am. I'm a conspiracy theory guy. What the NFL wants more than anything else is to have Tom Brady in another Super Bowl to win it, and waiting for the junk calls, you know. And anybody who's an NFC East or an AFC East fan knows what I'm talking about. Or anybody who's an AFC in general knows what I'm talking about. Anyone with the last name of Manning knows what I'm talking about. That's what I'm more afraid of than anything else. Is like, what does the NFL want? Do they want Aaron Rodgers versus Mahomes in the Super Bowl, or do they want Tom Brady versus Mahomes in the Super Bowl?
Rodgers, because there's more money behind it. Because
I want Rodgers versus Allen in the Super Bowl.
Because
then my two favorite teams of all time would be playing in the Super Bowl together.
I apologize to my sister-in-law from Kansas City, but man, like you had that one last year, but still, man,
they are one dude fumbling the ball across the end zone from losing that game yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, just seeing the Bills and the Bills fans be able to do that, it would be so great to see a Green Bay Buffalo Super Bowl and watch every corporate sponsor and every head in the NFL offices in New York City just explode.
Oh my God, yeah.
Even though they're still in New York. I was so
the only team that plays in New York.
And I might not have been the only one who was thinking this, but I was thinking, my God, if they pull this off, we're going to have a Browns-Bills AFC Championship game. That's what I wanted. Browns playing at the Bills in an AFC Championship game. I was like, that made it worth it for me. I mean, I might be okay with letting the Packers go next week just to see that game. Like, that's how excited I was. I was like, talk about just blowing it all up. He leaves the Patriots and the AFC completely implodes, and now we have the Browns and the Bills in the AFC championship game.
Yeah, I don't know.
That would have been fantastic. Anyway, so back to our hometown 22.
You are out there. Okay.
Last night people are making way too much of that game last night and how good Tom Brady was and this, that, and the next thing, and how good Tampa Bay's defense was. But the Saints,
the defense was great. Defense
was good, but I mean, against what though? I mean, Kamara's good. I mean, Thomas was non-existent.
Yeah.
Cook was non-existent. They didn't have Latavius Murray. They didn't have their wild card that is Taysom Hill. I'll be the first one to say it too. It's like, I know it's all gimmickry tricks, but yes, it does bring a difference to the game, and it does help their offense out.
No, I didn't have to play against much.
And, you know, and everyone keeps saying, like, look what happened in week six. Tampa Bay beat them up so bad. Well, you know what? The Saints beat Tampa Bay really bad twice during the regular season, and now Tampa Bay won in the playoffs. You know, so you can't look back that way.
Yeah, whole different game.
What do you think, Wendy?
Yeah.
I'll shut up. I'm going to mute myself.
I really agree with you about the narrative. I think most afraid that people are going to focus so much on that that we're really, like, everything else is going to get downplayed, and that's not giving the Packers enough credit. Like, that was one thing that knowing that we could most likely face off against the Bucks in the championship game, I don't know. Like, all the attention is going to go on Brady and how he, you know, magically resurrected the Bucks. And but then again, you know, on the flip side of that, like, when we kick their asses, it's going to be even sweeter because all of America is going to be, you know, like, yes. And I think, honestly, like, as much attention that Brady is getting right now, I think most of the fan base is going to be cheering for Green Bay. At least that's what I'm hoping. But yeah, and I've heard a lot of talk on Twitter and just talking with friends about that week six game. And you can't compare. That's apples and oranges. I mean, that was so long ago. And like John was saying, we've improved so much. And you can't, you know, look at next Sunday's game with the mindset of, you know, this is how we're going to play based on that game, because that's not it at all.
And another thing that's going to factor into this game, and it did obviously factor into the end of the Rams game too, the Superdome, I think, was mostly empty during their game. It was a pretty sterile environment. Those 9,000 plus Packer fans, and this was brought up by a couple of people, were probably louder than 60,000 people could be, because it was a mostly empty metal stadium with a bunch of drunk yahoos banging signs off the back of aluminum chairs. And it was so, I mean, I could hear it over. I was like, I turned to Holly halfway through the third quarter and I went, it's louder than if they had 60,000 people in there, because if you have 60,000 people in there, they're all wearing clothes. You know, they can't be, it's kind of deafening. Instead, you have this like metal bowl that everyone's banging spoons on the inside of, and it got loud, and you could tell people got that the Rams got flustered. The same thing happened in the Buffalo game. You could see the Ravens all of a sudden when I was gonna say Raymond James Stadium, but what's the stadium up in Buffalo? Anyways, when Bills Mafia started getting loud too and banging signs off the chairs, like, they couldn't hear anything anymore. And I think that's gonna be, I mean, if you don't think the 10,000 strong that are gonna be at Lambeau Field aren't gonna be the loudest crowd you can imagine, they might be bringing aluminum baseball bats in with them. Or fry pans, just to bang fry pans together to be as loud as they can. And I think that might have something to do with it. I really hope that that rating that Rashawn Gary has since week 16 and how he's been getting in there, Preston Smith's been playing better.
Yeah.
Z has been getting inside. I really hope that I don't think Tampa's offensive line. Tampa's offensive line is about the same as the Rams' offensive line. And nice. That said, They really started hammering down on Goff last week, and I think it could be the same way this week too.
Here's the other things I think are kind of important in looking back at that game. I mean, this was the first game back that Devontae played. It was his first game back off of injury. Kirksey was out. So, I mean, like, the Buccaneers' leading receiver was Rob Gronkowski with 78 yards. I mean, Brady, I mean, he played nice, but not great. He was 17 of 27, 166 yards. You know, Rodgers actually started off pretty well. But yeah, as Aaron talked about last week, like, we talked about this a little bit here. Just, it was the pick. So the pick six followed by a pick that was returned to the two that became a touchdown a play later. Until that point, the Packers are winning that game. Also, Aaron got hit massively hard in the back in a play where he was already in the end zone. So, I mean, like, there's several things that happened there.
I forgot about that one. Good call.
Yeah. Which was not blown. Which, if anybody had breathed on Tom Brady in the end zone, for God's sakes. Yeah. I mean, he's a running guy and he's going in, but whatever. They're trying, going after him on that one. That's fine.
I do still have to give Tom Brady credit for doing all the quarterback sneaks that he does. He got into the end zone again this weekend.
Yeah.
Good for you, old man. Like,
he's a big guy. He pushes forward pretty well on those. He's been very good on straight ahead quarterback sneaks most of his career. He can't go side to side to save his soul.
Oh God, no! But he'll still put his body in the middle of that pile, man.
There was a moment. Byron Leftwich once said, "I thank God for Tom Brady being in the league because now it means I'm not the slowest quarterback in football." <It's> like, Byron Leftwich. And everyone thought he could run because he was a black quarterback. And he's like, I can't run. He's like, I'm so slow. He was not fast. But people assumed he was because he was a black quarterback. Mm-hmm. Man, that is awful. But people did think that. But there's so many things that are different from that game to this game. Seriously, it is just the second quarter of that game. Tampa Bay scores 28 in the second quarter. And otherwise, it's 10-10. And yeah, Aaron gets really out of it at that point because the Packers are up 10-0 at the end of the first quarter. 10-0 in Tampa. And then there's the hit to Aaron as he's going in, the two picks, and that kind of threw off the rest of the game from that point on. For Tampa to have a game like that again, they're counting on Aaron throwing two picks, one of which is returned all the way to the end zone and one which is basically returned. There's no chance Aaron has that game again. This is a good team because there's four teams left. They're all good. You're not going to get to play the Bears again. The Vikings, we don't get to play them again. There's no Lions left. I think it's going to be, if I'm betting my money on it, I'd say it's something like 34-31. I think it's going to be higher scoring. Because both teams can score, and I don't think that the Packers' offense is afraid of any defense, especially at this point. MVS is playing way better than he did at that moment in that game. I just think it's going to be a close game, but I think the Packers are going to have the edge, and being at home is going to help, and just being the better team is going to help because Tampa finds ways to lose every now and then. They weren't as good a team throughout the season as the Packers were. I don't know, Wendy. What are your thoughts on this game?
Oh gosh, I think it's going to be close. I saw, I don't know if you guys follow CB Tendrivision, but he put something out today on Twitter that said, as much as I want the Packers to just completely take this game away from the Bucks, I would also like it to be like a 48-48 tie and we win in halftime by like a field goal or a touchdown. And that's a little too much for my stress levels. I don't think my heart could take that. I think it's going to be very high scoring because our offense is incredible and Tom Brady. But I think we're going to win by like 10 points, at least 10 points. That's my prediction.
All right. I'm praying for yours. Aaron, what do you think?
Stat that was brought up today, this Packers team this year has scored 75 or on has scored on the first two drives 75% of the time, which is an NFL record, meaning they've scored a touchdown and a field goal, a touchdown and a touchdown. And actually they never scored a field goal and a field goal. It's always a touchdown there's a touchdown somewhere in the equation. Saw it again last week. This team does get out early, tends to balloon a little bit around halftime, and then tends to shut it down at the end. Forecast for Sunday in Green Bay, Wisconsin, although it's a little bit out, but we have science now. It's supposed to be snowing, and it's supposed to be below 30. So probably not a snow globe game, but you can't ever tell that far out. I want to say... 30 Titans by?
Roughly infinity. Yeah. I think we just scored again.
What was the score last week? 32-18. I'm going to say 32-18 Packers.
Jeez, I love you guys. I gotta hang out with you guys more often.
I think next week's game is gonna look a lot like last week's game. I hope the Packers don't turn it over again. We're on a streak right now of really not turning it over at all.
We just need to hold on to that ball. Yeah.
Knock on wood.
I mean, figuring a one fumble or one interception or something like that. I mean, Rodgers almost got picked twice on the same drive last week, so he's still not impervious. As a matter of fact, one of those should have been picked, but I think about the same results. Probably let's go 38-19 just to round it off.
That would have only been a 3-point difference. We were going to get the ball next anyhow.
Vegas only has the Packers at 3.5, so
that's pretty fair. I think that's fair. All right, we'll move on a little bit here. We've gotten all of our Packer talk in, I think, at this point. The Bucs have actually looked fairly good since we've last talked here. They've put together, after that really weird stretch, we started off 2-2, then they lost and they win 3, then they lost and they win 4. Now we lost. Now comes the 5-game win streak, everybody. I believe in these sorts of things. They actually lost a very close one tonight in Brooklyn. So they're on the road against the Nets with Harden. Second game since Harden has been traded to the Nets, so he still cares. Still in that moment of time where he cares. Here's the funniest thing.
Five or six games.
Yeah. I heard this on Tony Kornheiser today. His podcast is phenomenal. I love listening to the show. I can't wait till he has all the guests back in the show. But he was saying, he's like, Harden broke the Nets record for assists in a game. And it was 13. And you're like, Jason Kidd played for that team. Like, all the people who have played for the Nets over the years, it was 13 in a game. So Harden got 14 and then stopped passing the ball. So it's like, yep. It's the first game there. He wants to show everybody he's really about teamwork. And then he stopped the minute he didn't have to do it anymore. they got this game. Antetokounmpo missed a triple-double by 3 rebounds, I believe, or 3 assists. I'm sorry, 3 assists. So he was 34, 12, and 7. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, in fairness, the way the schedule kind of lines up in terms of the teams that are going to play, they're going to make the playoffs again, where like this team is building themselves towards something. They've looked good. They beat up, last time we talked about, they beat Cleveland and Orlando. They got to play Detroit again. They beat Dallas. And then you got a game against Brooklyn here where it was a 2-point game. And it was a 7-point game, and the Bucks came all the way back to make it 20-20. And it was like, I think it was 120-113. So it was 120-120. And then just incrementally down the stretch, just didn't finish it with the win. Unfortunately, the next thing they got is the Lakers. And the Lakers, the one thing they've got going for them is continuity. You know, the Bucks made some changes. They've got, Drew Holiday in there. They're still working through some of this. He looks good out there. I mean, he looks nice out there. I don't think that they're quite in that spot. I mean, I joked about the 5-game winning streak coming now, but Thursday we'll get to see the Bucks play the Lakers. We'll see. It's going to be a different game, and that they'll probably care more about that than beating, the Nets.
John, I have a sidebar for you on tonight's game.
Right, I did I'll expect them to beat the Nets.
But here we go. So everybody thinks that the Nets are going to be this hardcore team now that they got Harden. Well, they've got Harden, KD, and Kyrie Irving all on the same team. Who are
crazy
superstars per se.
And insane human beings.
They're also the three neediest players in the NBA all on one team.
In the locker room.
Kevin Durant had heaven in Oklahoma City. With Harden and Westbrook on the same team. They were all on the same team.
Yeah.
They were all on the same team in Oklahoma City when they were kids. And I think Serge Ibaka was on that team too.
Yes.
But they were, that is the best team ever. Like, that barely missed because they lost to one of those teams that doesn't end with an S, the Heat, when LeBron James was there, and along with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. And so now you've constructed this team in Brooklyn that is made up of the neediest players ever. Literally, Kyrie Irving was holding out until they got Harding. Harding was holding out until he got traded. KD has just basically, he jumped ship from Oklahoma City to the Golden State Warriors to win a championship. And then once he realized he was chopped meat there, left, and he was super sensitive all the time. And of course, Kyrie Irving's completely insane, thinks the world is flat. Yes. And said it wasn't flat. Now he thinks it's flat again.
Yeah.
I really don't think the Nets are going to equate to anything. I mean, literally, it's going to be the opposite of what happens when LeBron James goes somewhere. Like, LeBron James goes somewhere, and he's one of the best players of all time, and he got that team together and made it work. And LeBron should never be slighted for how good he is. Like, he is really that good.
Yeah.
All three members of the Nets, none of those guys are galvanizing, and that thing is going to implode, and I can't wait to see it. So,
I heard a fun thing, and I guess I haven't been able to verify this personally, but they said, I saw somebody was saying this, that Durant is the only MVP who has never played on a team that didn't have another MVP on it. And they don't mean somebody who had it at the time already, but he always played with either Westbrook and Harden or Curry or Kyrie. And it's like, he's always been playing with somebody else who was an MVP on the team. I was like, that's an incredible thing to think about. He's like, he's an MVP, but he's never played without somebody else who could also be an MVP. That's wow. Still though, yeah, the Bucks played right with him right up to the end. They were right there. It's not a bad loss. It is a loss on the road by two. But
whatever.
I mean, seriously, once they get past the Lakers here, they get the Wizards.
Call me back in April.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to really get after this because, yeah, through March, you're like, okay.
Yeah. Call me back after opening day of baseball, and then baseball's boring for a month or two or three. and then the NBA is exciting. So call me back during that part of the equation. So.
Well, on that note, let's get into this. Wendy, the Brewers make no moves. Your thoughts?
No. No, it has been such a boring offseason. What is going on?
We'll bring this up. I backed this up for you. We talked about this before we started, but Hader and Woodruff avoid arbitration. They both take 1-year deals. So both Woodruff and Hader avoid arbitration. That's about as well as we've done, other than our AAA team looks like it's going to be, you know, stellar, I guess.
Yeah, our AAA is off the charts right now.
I was trying to figure out, and I forgot that our AA team left Colorado Springs after last year. Right? I was gonna say Brewers minor league baseball is looking spectacular, but sorry, Wendy, go ahead.
That was right in my backyard too. Like the year I moved down to the Springs, they decided to move, which is kind of a bummer. we've been getting a lot of utility players. A lot of catchers. We're, you know, keeping tabs on a lot of infield players, which is all, you know, good and great. But I just sometimes I get super frustrated with the decisions that are made, especially, you know, I mean, we are a small market team, but it just seems like year after year, at least with the off season, it's kind of a very slow moving train. And then once the season ramps up, we, you know, get great players like Vogelbach, who came in mid season last year.
Great players like Vogelbach.
Maybe got back.
I love that guy, but he's a fan favorite type of player. But yeah, I like having him.
I do too. Yeah. But yeah, we're not making moves when other teams are making moves, so that can be a little bit frustrating. Like, oh my gosh, San Diego, holy cow, they are going to be a powerhouse team.
Did they borrow money from the Yankees? What's been going on with San Diego? Jeez.
No.
So yeah, beforehand we had to explain in terms of Daniel Vogelbach, because Wendy she's a young person. We had to explain Homestar Runner to her and who Strong Mad is. But basically, look him up. Google Strong Mad. You'll see a picture of Daniel Vogelbach essentially in a singlet. But yeah, I like him. I mean, seriously, Kane will be back. Yelich, Garcia, and those are guys where we're looking at around that outfield. Those are the three highest paid Brewers at this point, too. Hader, and we still have, I'll lose my mind here on some of these names here. We're just bouncing around. I mean, the bullpen's still going to be good. 8-9 is going to be just shut down. It'll still have Peralta giving us some of those long innings. We still have Burns. We still have Woodruff. We still have Lindblom. Suter is still going to be hanging around some of that stuff. So the pitching's okay. If we just continue to not, if we somehow just don't have the worst Yelich year he's ever had, like last year was a weird year.
It was a very weird year.
And
yeah.
And Kane left us pretty early in that season.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And have a full year of, you know, see what Vogelbach can do over the course of a full season. And if Arcia can keep hitting like he did last year, Manny Pena was hurt last year as well. Narvaez, jeez, oh Pete, Narvaez. Man, I don't know what else to say with him. I just want to see Pena just every day and bring in Narvaez when we have to.
Same, I agree.
But, I mean, it's decent on the front end, but if there's one position you needed to plus up, Wendy, where are you looking?
Oh, gosh. You know,
I'm not asking for a name, just a position. Names are kind of hard to put you on the spot on.
I guess it depends on if Braun is staying or going.
You go to my next question already.
That's going to be a big, you know, he's leaving some pretty big shoes to fill. So that'll be interesting to see what they do pending on that decision.
Okay.
That's my answer.
Okay. So, I mean, you're looking outfield then somewhere and not a center fielder, but Braun's available if we're looking at that area. Gosh, I'm glad we didn't get Schwarber. I mean, like, I don't want to actually have to play him in the field anywhere. Jock Peterson's still out there. Brett Gardner's still out there. Michael Brantley is still out there.
Brantley, yeah.
Jay Bruce is still out there. Eddie Rosario is still out there. Those would be interesting in left field there, too.
Jeremy Burnett's. I think he's available.
Jeez. You're killing me. Domingo Santana is a free agent right now, too.
Okay.
I'm still worried about third. I don't know what's going on there, I guess. Like, there's some people. I don't know if there's anybody out there. Hey, man, Brock Holt is a free agent. No, shut up.
Oh, my God. Brock Holt. Yes, please. Yeah.
Hey, what? Sorry, I just jumped back in here. What happened to Travis Shaw? I heard he was a free agent.
He is a free agent.
Yep.
His WAR is a negative 0.6.
I don't care. Bring back the mayor of Ding Dong City.
Mayor of Ding Dong City. Heck yes.
I'm in favor of that. I'm all right with that. Because you can probably get them for a price that's worth it. Todd Frazier and Justin Turner, Eric Sogard. Those guys are all available at third at this point.
Sogard. Take him.
I don't know.
Mikel Franco.
Hey, so help me out here. And Jake Lamb. You're going to laugh at me for being so dumb.
Cool.
This is what I'm here for. Is NL's keeping the designated hitter from here on out, right?
They are.
They weren't going to put it in and then let it go. So that'll be.
Well, I know that at first the talk was that they were going to do it because of the shortened season and the expanded rosters and blah, 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 whatever. And then, no, I'm glad to hear that. Okay, good. So, I mean, that said, Travis Shaw, you can bring him back. And then.
Yeah. That would be an interesting. Mike Fiers is a free agent. How about that?
Oh.
Imagine that. You tattle on your teammates and nobody walks you around anymore.
There's quite a bit of starting pitchers. I think the Brewers stay pat on starting pitchers. I would like to see something moving towards third or first. And I like Vogelbach, but third and first are the places where it's like, man, I don't know what they're doing at times. I don't get it. It's just hard to understand what their plan is right now. Sober David Stearns and drunk David Stearns, but I don't know what's happening right now. All right. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to put everything else that we've got here into the part that we call And we're going to give Wendy our heads up here again. She's been on this show. She knows what goes on here. But if she has anything else to add that's not really fits within the context of the normal show, we'd like to throw it into something that we lovingly call our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
All right. A couple of things I'm going to say here. First off, Badger women's hockey rocked it against the Gophers this weekend, took out the number one ranked Minnesota Gophers and swept them over the weekend.
No boss.
Yeah. Badger women back to number one. Fantastic weekend. Just lit them up. It was not close. They destroyed Minnesota this weekend. It was fantastic. And the men even followed suit this weekend, taking down currently unranked Arizona State. But Arizona State's been good a couple years, this last couple years here. Unranked right now, but the 12th ranked Badgers now. They took down Arizona State 5-2 and then 4-0. And something interesting here, like I was looking at the scoring. Cole Caulfield currently leads the Big Ten in goals, currently leads the Big Ten in points. Third on that list, Linus Weisbach, the senior. It's been a nice year for this team. The one thing that does concern me is Bobby Badoon. He's got a goals against of 3.34. And this freshman Cameron Rowe, he's only played 5 games. He's 3-1 in those 5 games. He's got a 1.22 goals against average. He has got a save percentage of 9.52. I mean, those are pretty good goals. Whatever they're doing, this team has found ways to score. Caulfield, Cole and his brother Brock Caulfield, Linus Weisbach, having Owen Lindmark and Alex Turcotte out there, and even Holloway. It's been looking very, very good.
Okay, I can hear your Uper accent like coming in stronger.
You're killing me right now. Yeah, oh, man. I'll tell you about
that
hockey.
Yeah, Weisbach and Turcotte and the other guys. And all I know is that there's not enough Linuses in the league anymore. Nobody names a kid Linus anymore.
Well, if there were more Linuses out there, we'd be looking at a much better team. And the Badgers right now, they're going up against a bunch of these teams. And right now, Minnesota's still on top of the Big Ten. But it's not as bad right now because guess what? The Gophers, they got swept. They got swept this weekend.
Oh, no way.
Oh, gripe's sake. I tell you, they played the Fightin' Irish. The Fightin' Irish, they took two of them from Minnesota. And so now Minnesota's lost 3 out of the last 4 games. And so they're not so great
anymore. They lost to a team from a state that doesn't have ice on their lakes?
Oh, geez. They do touch one of the Great Lakes.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Indiana. Gary doesn't count.
So yes,
no ice forms off the lake Gary because there's too many toxins in the water. So
while Wisconsin hockey was sweeping everybody this weekend, Minnesota hockey got swept, men's and women's. Minnesota drops from 1-4 in men's hockey. BC, the Golden Eagles, or just the Eagles? No, they're just the Eagles. The Eagles of BC,
British Columbia or Boston College?
Boston College. Great Jesuit school.
It is Golden Eagles. Sorry, you didn't.
A good Jesuit school, the Eagles. They move up to number one. Badgers staying at 12. They get to play Penn State next. Unranked Penn State in Big Ten play next coming up. Fantastic there. Badger basketball had a game, and nobody seemed to tell them because they did not bother to shoot the ball at all. They shot like, I think it was 30.8% from 3, and Michigan came out and shot way better than that. It was
John, that's not a number.
What's that?
That is not a number.
30.8?
No, that's not a number. Wait, they can't do that, right?
They definitely did.
You don't do that.
It was
a scholarship, right?
Yeah, that turns out they have scholarships for this game, but yeah, they were not shooting well. Badgers terribly. Michigan played a great game. That team looks really, really good. Michigan came out, beat them 77-54. It was terrible shooting. Wisconsin bounced back by beating Rutgers 60-54. And they'll get a chance to play Northwestern coming up here. I'll tell you what. This team looks pretty good. We have not seen the biggest jump from Reavers. Reavers giving up some time to have I'm trying to think who else comes in there sometimes here. But Demetric Trice has been one of those guys that has been fantastic. He has come off and played the best year he's had for Wisconsin. And it's been it has really been fun to watch him grow into the role he's had this year. They've been getting also Wall coming out there and playing a lot of big minutes for this team, doing very well. I think Reavers didn't even start the last game against Rutgers, it looks like. So they had Potter, Wall, Ford, Davison, and Trice. They all played very well. I mean, this is Wall's worst scoring game in quite a while, but they still get up 60 as a team and get that win in New Jersey. Yeah, Badgers hang on. I think they're at 10 now, and just, yeah, it was a bad game against Michigan. It was a very bad game against Michigan, and you can't shoot like that and win. You don't get to do that. That's not how it works. So they'll get a chance to keep coming back here, and I'm trying to see who they got next. Yeah, so they got Northwestern next, and then they'll have Ohio State, number 15 Ohio State, and then they'll get to play Penn State and a chance for revenge against Maryland. So, I mean, this is a tournament team. We'll see how they do. Try to round into shape here. They've had a couple bad games where they just don't shoot. That's what happens when you're a shooting team, though. So that's about where we are with most of those scores. Aaron, did you have anything else you wanted to add for this week?
I think I'm pretty clear on everything we've talked about today. I think I had everything out. I have my little checklist right here, and I went through all of it. So
fabulous.
We're good. I think we're good. I'm not sure if I gave Elton Jenkins enough love for his work against Aaron Donald yet, but
he's killer.
Yeah, no, it was one of those deals that you know. So everyone, you know, the All Pro love was given to Lindsley and Bakhtiari, and we've all been cheerleaders of Jenkins on this podcast, and I think a lot of us Packers fans see that. He does great work. He can play anywhere on the line.
Yes.
And some people who even questioned the Billy Turner signing, what was that, 2 years ago or just last year?
Well, before last season, yeah.
Before last season, everyone was like, this guy's a mediocre right guard.
He's been good.
Well, didn't hear his name at all the other day. I don't think you heard it once except for everyone going, hey, we haven't heard from Billy Turner yet. And it's that. There you go. I want to the Packers offensive line is amazing. Aaron Rodgers gets to sit back there and twiddle his thumbs while he's trying to figure out who he's going to throw to. And I just want to make sure that there's enough love going on to Elton Jenkins. There we go. How about that? Wendy, what do you got?
You know, I will say so I learned something on Saturday when my sister and I went out to go watch the game. We should not go out in public to watch any sort of Packers game, any sort of Wisconsin sports game, because we went to a brewery, and as most Packers fans do, we got a little loud, got a little rowdy. At one point I stood up, I think it was when I think it was when Lazard caught that ball. I stood up and had on a lamp and actually chipped a piece off. So yeah, I should probably stay at home to watch these games from now on. But I am so excited for Sunday, and I think that no matter what happens, I'm fairly certain that the Packers are gonna win and take this. But right. I'm just lucky to be able or to have been a part of the season, and especially in a year that was so crazy and so just hardship and, you know, challenge after challenge after challenge, to sit down every week and watch the team play, especially the way that they've been playing, was just a blast. And that, you know, is something that I will probably forever be grateful for, because I think a lot of times, you know, sports can help us get through some of the toughest times, and I definitely did this year. So
yeah,
here, here.
Yeah, I'm all on board.
David, Wendy.
Yeah, I stay mostly at home, so I got kids, and I don't want to go anywhere. It's scary out there with all these weird people. But anyhow,
I hate people.
Yeah, people are strange. The one other thing I'll add before we close up here today is just to let everybody know the NHL season has started. If you haven't watched hockey before, try giving it a look because it's fantastic. It'll take you a second to try to learn where the puck is. But by the way, it's where everyone else is looking. Just look at the players. They're looking at the puck for most of the time. And just adopt
the camera team. Centers on it, actually.
Generally, yeah.
It tries to.
You will learn. Like, I always find it weird when people are like, oh, I can't find the puck. Where's the puck? I was like, what are you talking about? Because I played hockey, so it's a little different. Right. I was like, and it seems obvious.
The best part, that's when everyone always talks about what the off-puck action. Like, sometimes they have to show you, like, split screen back to like something that happened at the other end because the camera actually follows the puck and you don't see the defenseman crush the forward into the boards on the back end. So sorry, John, back to your
point. Go ahead and adopt a team, go find somebody, you know, whatever, and just, or find a player that you enjoy and just watch a team. Just don't adopt the Seattle Kraken because that team is stupid. That name is stupid. Don't interrupt me, Aaron. Nobody cares what you think. It's a dumb name. And just, you know, what I have to say is go Bees, and it's fantastic to have hockey back, even with this weird rearranging they have done to try to make it safer for COVID and put all the Canadian teams in their own weird little Canadian bubble. Anyhow, thank you again for joining us this week. No,
Where did they end up putting the Wild? That was a weird, like, I heard some kerfuffle on KFan about that. They're in
A lot of people are unhappy with how a lot of this went because this is the first time, other than strike shortened seasons, that the like the Bruins and Canadiens have not played each other, and the Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs will not play each other since like World War II or something.
I know what it is. The kerfuffle is that the Wild got put in the West instead of the East, so every single game starts at 9:30 at night.
That would do it.
That's what it was. Sorry. All right. Anyway.
All right. Thank you, everybody, again for joining us. Wherever it is that you listen to us, please remember to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host. You can follow Aaron at Cheddar Talk. You can follow the show at Scotty Johnny Pod. Remind me again, is it, it's Wendy Lou Who 13? Is that right?
Wendy 3.
Three? Okay, sorry. Remember to follow Wendy. Wendy has fantastic stuff and just great updates for you throughout. So it's always wonderful to have you with us, Wendy. We always appreciate you. We're definitely going to have you more, too, when we get more Brewers talk to go forward here rather than just, you know, how great Daniel Vogelbach is.
And Wendy lives on the edge of the Rocky Mountains and has some of the best picks you will ever see. They're awe-inspiring. It's beautiful great. Photos, she's living the Rocky Mountain lifestyle, and just if anything else, just follow her. Just to chill on her Rocky Mountain vibes.
And we're both wishing her boyfriend good luck on the LSAT and go get him and hooah! All right. Remember, of course, everybody, whether or not you are on the town or on the go or safe at home on the couch, it is always on Wisconsin.
Go Kraken!
They stink.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.